So motion capture is sampling and recording movement, and we do it in our lab on humans and on animals. We work with the vet school, and they dress up dogs and dogs in motion capture suits. And but it's a very scientific gathering of data where somebody is in 3D space. And we use it for a lot of things like archiving, analysis, playback, remapping. Remapping means so I could take that data and put it on something else and make that other thing perform in the same way using the same data. So there are lots of kinds of motion capture types. All of them have strengths and weaknesses. Ohio State, our lab is an optical motion capture system. I'm just going to talk about that because that's basically what I know, but there would be reasons to use other kinds of motion capture types or to not use kinds of motion capture types depending on what you want to do. So this is what optical motion capture looks like. On the right, the guy in the suit, you've probably seen this. If your kids play video games, you see all the actors that run around in video games. This is a lot of times what is used for that movement. It's just these reflective balls that are stuck to a tight suit that you wear, and it shows up like the image just to the left of the performer there. And you can see tracking his head with a headband on and balls. And we can also do facial tracking with tiny little markers. Those markers are just covered with a reflective tape that is similar to what you might have on tennis shoes, with running shoes, you know, so they're reflective when you're out in the dark. And you can see on the left, I've listed advantages and disadvantages. One of the big disadvantages is this thing called occlusion. In other words, if somebody comes in front of the markers and the cameras can't see the markers, those markers don't get recorded, and that is a problem. The other thing that, as performers, you can probably imagine is it doesn't work too well to roll around on the floor with those balls on. Maybe an Angie can attest to that, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about what their experience has been. This is, maybe we can just turn the, let's see.
And, yeah, put those down.
How about that? That's good. There. So this is just trying to show you what's happening. And the thing that's maybe most important to get from it is you're in a room, you're surrounded by a 360-degree loop of cameras. We use about 14 cameras, and we need at least three cameras to see the position of every marker in space. And that's what triangulates the information and determines where that marker is in 3D space and just records it all. And from there, the software can make some decisions about joint angles. And all it's, but it does that really by measuring where the dots are. So you can see on the right side what that sort of dot kind of thing looks like. And this is just showing the vectors of the cameras on the left side with the green vectors coming down and how they might capture a figure. So one of the first motion captures we did was with Marcel Marceau. And like I said, we've captured other things in our lab. The reason he came to our laboratory was because Ohio State has part of his archive as part of the Theater Research Institute, which also holds Beebe's archive. And he wanted to capture some of his signature movements. And this is basically what you get when you motion capture, this kind of wire stick frame figure. You can see the dots that represent where the balls are. With Marcel Marceau, he felt that his breathing was really important to his performance, so he asked us to design a set of markers that would capture more fully the breathing that went on his chest.
Wow.
So, for instance, we made a set of markers that captured that. So we sort of talk to who the person is and say, what's your intention? What is it that you want to save or to capture? He picked what signature movements he wanted to perform, and that's what he performed. One of his proteges is also a professor in the theater department at Ohio State, so she was an integral part of what he was doing and why he was there. I'll say, and we've been talking a little bit about all the legal issues, too, that are involved. He was very specific about never wanting any kind of computer-generated data to be attached to any of this 3D data. So we had a whole legal agreement with him that said exactly how this stuff would be used, who would be allowed to see it, who would have permission to see it. So our theater students or performance students can access these files and they can look at it, and they have, and they've studied it. However, he never wanted to see this used with any kind of 3D form on it, and he very specifically stated that. So again, asking the performer, the choreographer, what is it that you want to do with this data, and how do you want to use in years to come when you're not around anymore, but we need to have some rules set in place that make sure we're doing with the data what you want done.
Can I ask you a question?
Yep.
The camera is filming? No, the camera is recording the where the dots are.
14 cameras are recording 14. Where the dots are.
Then the program translates that to these lines.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And joins the dots together into the skeletal form.
All right.
Yeah.
And somebody teaches somebody how to read this so they can reproduce action from it?
You could do that. I'm going to show you some moving motion capture, and you'll see what that looks like. So this is just a sense of other people that we've motion captured, and it's, you know, all kinds of performers who have come to the lab. You can see what they look like in the suits. We make arrangements and sign agreements with all of these people saying how their data will be used and whom they study it.
Yeah.
And you can see that sometimes there are props, right? We had these Japanese drummers, and they're playing the drums, and we're recording that. So every time we motion capture, we also videotape, so that there's videotape of it happening, and we usually videotape from at least two points of view, and then we're motion capturing.
At the bar.
So this is his piece called At the Bar, and you'll see why. This is some capture that we did with Native Americans in our lab. And the first thing we did was had them dance in their regalia. And we could not motion capture this because this is what motion capture is not good at. Then they re-perform the dance in a motion capture suit. You can see the cameras are the red lights up there. That's what's catching the reflection of the balls that are on the dancer. Here's the motion capture of that movement. And then we're going to, next step, we'll be attaching some 3D geometry onto it, which is one of the options.
Yes.
And that's what Marcel Marceau didn't want.
That's what he did not want.
Okay.
I thought he went down on his full foot.
This could be a different part of it.
But he might not have, his shoes, his heels might have been thicker than what he wore.
Right, it would depend where the marker was.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah, sure.
One thing that happens sometimes with this occlusion issue is a marker falls off during the performance, But as an archivist, you have to decide if you're going to go in and fill in that movement on the data, or whether you say the capture is the capture is the capture, and I am not going to change anything. I'm going to take literally what happened. And again, it's about talking to the choreographer about what it is they want to be captured and how that data gets finessed or not finessed.
You might want to know that it's not very different to the video when you are looking at something that the dancers have been studying, and you can't imagine you ever made that, and then you look at the video and say, that was an error.
You'll notice too in that last piece, while we're looking at the motion capture data, you can move around to any spot in 3D space, and I would say that's the one advantage that motion capture has over video, is it's not a biased point of view, it's You can be wherever you want in that dance.
Including underneath it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. And then this is BB's company in our lab. And BB's company really tested the system as to how many people could be in motion capture. And this was it. This was as many as we could do at once.
A bunch of Marcel Marceaux's.
At the bar.
It's also really weird to see those little stumbles if you think they're
feet.
Is your weight where you, that you think it's as secure as it is or not?
Can I just talk a minute about
one of the things, this idea of the balls falling off, and Angie can talk maybe from her experience, but I found that it's one thing to watch, we did a lot of improvising, you know, lovely dancing happen, but I got really transfixed when one of the balls fell off and somebody went from dancing to person picking up a ball. And the fact that you can kind of quantify where that change of intention happened was really, really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think that I was less interested in kind of documenting our movement, but more about documenting intention.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a way of even then, and we did end up doing this for our Peace Landing Place in 2005, but moved away from animating the body, but almost
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out how to devise a particular kind of human motion,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even superimpose that on a little birdhouse, or you know, what's the hesitation of not quite knowing what to do? What is that on a movement level as opposed to just dance phrases?
Mm-hmm.
Just to add to that there was a partial, it was a documentation of weight and the movement of weight, which was interesting to us. It wasn't a complete documentation of weight, but it was definitely readable, and so that was something interesting that was not as, it was more evident than just in video for some reason. I'm not sure why. And then also this sense of the balls falling off and these like tasks of like going from like doing this material, it somehow, because of the weight, I think, captures that shift in state. And then just on a nuts and bolts sort of thing, it's a very particular world that you're in. You're in this black box, and therefore it's hard, and you're in a unitard, and you have these balls on you, and it really changes the way what's being captured,
mm-hmm.
what you're doing. It's not the same thing that you would be doing if you were in, you know, flowy dance pants on a wood floor with sunlight coming in. And that was really evident right away for us.
But you did a good job.
But I also think it's important, and this maybe, I guess, we're going to get to the idea of remapping, but that this was also part of an artistic process that was connected to an animator that then took this language and applied it to fire and to all these other elements that helped, I thought, in a great way, create this relationship between dancer and visual, because it was the same language, it was the same vocabulary.
Before,
I think that